there is nothing like a great comeback. As some of you know, I'm a big sports fan, and it's always fun to watch an amazing comeback. It could be, as if some of you are as old as I, or maybe a little bit older, that comeback that we saw in the 80s of the Buffalo Bills with their backup quarterback, Frank Wright. Like 30 or 40 points down, they come back to win the game. For some of us, maybe for all of us, a couple of years ago, we remember the great comeback. So it was of the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they went from the worst, one of the worst teams to the league, from one bad call from going to the Super Bowl. Hashtag Miles Jack was not down. And often there are individual comebacks, and there's none better than a guy named Tiger Woods. In 2009, we were reminded that his life and his golfing career had hit rock bottom. And 10 years of personal struggle, 4 back surgeries, his life literally being unraveled. From him being probably the best golfer of all time, just to be an average golfer who might even not even get on the golf course. That everything hit rock bottom, personally and professionally. And then in 2019, Tiger comes back and wins the Masters. There is nothing like a good comeback. And in our passage this morning, we have what it is, a spiritual comeback, as it were. There's nothing like victory that is birthed out of brokenness. There's something about brokenness that creates humility. There's something powerful when you realize it is okay not to be okay. And it gives us passion and renewal and redemption. It gives us boldness. It gives us freedom. And here, this is what we see here in the very life of Peter. Because you understand, Peter was a broken man. Here, we see here in Acts 4, this amazing comeback of the life of Peter. Remember, Peter was the best friend of Jesus. If we go backwards a little bit and remember on that morning where Jesus was risen from the dead, 3 out of the 4 Gospels, almost every Gospel, Jesus is, says, go tell Peter that I have risen from the dead. And we even go farther back than that, we're reminded of Peter denying Jesus 3 times. Here, Jesus' best friend, the one who walked with him and talked with him. And even there, 3 out of the 4 Gospels, it describes Peter even weeping in the midst of his denial. And so Peter here, a broken man. Then the resurrection of Jesus, there's this wonderful story in John 21 where Jesus goes and finds Peter and reminds him and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I do. And then feed my sheep. 3 times Jesus comes and asks Peter, do you love me? And 3 times Jesus calls him and urges him to go and feed his sheep. And here we see that amazing comeback. We see here in Acts 4 that Peter is doing exactly that. He is here feeding the very sheep of God. One author puts it this way, that all the persons of faith I know are sinners, doubters, and uneven performers. We are not secure because we are sure of ourselves, but because we trust that God is sure of us. And I believe there in John 21, in the coming pages of the very life of Peter, that Peter was sure of what his Savior Jesus thought of him, and it gave him boldness. It gave him confidence to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want us to see this, as we see Peter being transformed from brokenness to boldness, that I want us to see that the gospel is at work and it moves us. It transforms us, our brokenness, so that he can use our boldness for the gospel. And so this morning, we're going to look at 3 things about this amazing comeback. We're going to see the source of their boldness, the message of their boldness, and the purpose of their boldness. And so first, let us consider the very source of the boldness of Peter and John. So what was the source of their boldness? What changed? What did they have for them to be so confident? And I think there's two things. One, I think there was the very word of Jesus Christ itself. The first thing, I believe that they had the very simple and powerful word of God. It was the very source of their boldness. Look at verse 2. They, Peter and John, were teaching and proclaiming. They were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And then we also see in verse 13, which gives us a glimpse of Peter and John's boldness. Verse 13. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So how in the world did these fishermen, uneducated, common men, speak with such power and precision, persuasion with boldness? How did these average fishermen proclaim the very wonders of the kingdom of God? Again, the last phrase in verse 13, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They were reminded that they had been influenced by Jesus who taught. Mark 1:22 says that Jesus was one who had authority. And so Peter and John spent 3 years hearing from the very word of Jesus. They were trained by the very best teacher, the best prophet, the best content, the very word of God itself, the flesh, the logos, the one who took on flesh. And so Peter and John spoke with authority because they had been with the one who was the ultimate authority and power. They had been with Jesus himself and saw the wonder and might. And because of that, they were able to proclaim the very wonder of God. You almost see this every year, maybe every 5 or 10 years. Time magazine will put out a list of the top 100 or 50 events of all time. And usually the Reformation is in the top 3 to 5 of those powerful events. And Martin Luther, the key figure of the Reformation, realized the same power, the same boldness that comes with the very word of God. Listen to this quote. It's one of my favorite from Martin Luther. He says this, "In short, I will preach the word, teach it, write it, but I will constrain no one by force, for faith must come freely without pressure. Take myself an example. I oppose indulgences and all the papistry, but never with force. I simply taught and preached and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept and drank Wittenberg beer with my friends, the word so greatly weakened the papistry that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything." And so for Martin Luther and for Peter and John, the word of God is the very source of their boldness. That's the one, that's the living and active God, word of God. Paul writes this in 2 Timothy 2:9, that God's word, you cannot lock up God's word. And so as we see here that the church is continuing to grow and you cannot lock up God's word. And here we see Peter and John who are in prison. And they cannot lock up the very mouthpiece of God. And so here we see throughout the book of Acts as this small group of people, again, 120, 100 and so people here, dazed and confused, as it were, in this upper room, not sure what to do. And so you see this unraveling of the growth of God's kingdom through the very preached word of God. You see that in the first sermon there in Acts 2. You see it here in Acts 3, that the word of God goes and people respond in faith. And so we need to be reminded this morning that the word of God, the Bible that we're all reading and holding right now, is a powerful book. It's living and active, as the author of Hebrews puts it. And the question I have for you this morning is this. Have you ever experienced the wonder and the power of God's word? I mean, is the Bible just another book to you? Or is it literally the word of God that is sweet as honey and as powerful that it literally changes lives? So when was the last time you have experienced the wonder and power of the word of God? So the first source of their boldness was the word of God. Second, the Holy Spirit. Listen to verses 7 and 8. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. So the other source of Peter's boldness was, as we see here in verse 8, is the Holy Spirit. Again, in the midst of the priests and the Sadducees coming to Peter and John, these rulers, these officials, they come and question Peter and John, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And again, to remind you of the context of the story, this is probably about 2 to 3 months, most likely about 3 months after Jesus being arrested. Probably by the same Sadducees and rulers. That same night where Peter was denied, where Peter denied Jesus and runs and hides and cries and weeps. Now Peter, the same Peter, comes with confidence. And the reason that what changed? How did we get from broken Peter just a couple months ago? Now, did he get the book and get, you know, the 7 effective to be, you know, things to be a strong leader or whatever? No, what happened was the Holy Spirit came upon him. That what he heard through the very word of Jesus Christ became real and living and active, and it sunk deep down into his soul. And so what changed? What changed for Peter and what changes for us is that we have the Holy Spirit. One author puts it this way: it is one thing to have God beside you, but it's a whole nother to have God in you. And that's what Peter had. There's one thing to have Jesus beside you for 3 years. It's a whole nother thing to have God in you. Paul puts it this way, that Christ is in you, and that's the hope of glory. And so for us to live with boldness and confidence, we need to be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe this little verse explains that change in Peter's life from brokenness to boldness. It was on that, again, that night that he was arrested, the one who would run and hide now stands with confidence. And so, dear friends, this is what we need right now. We need to be reminded for us to stand in confidence in a world that is unending, shakable, uncertain, is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus in John 14 through 16, he tells his disciples, "I need to go." Why does he need to go? So the Holy Spirit might come. And the Holy Spirit might come and fill you. To be your advocate, to be your friend, to be your paraclete, to be your strength. To be the very source of your boldness. And so first, what we see, the source of their boldness is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Second, what's the message of their boldness? Have you ever been annoyed by someone's message? Annoyed by anybody's comments? Maybe it's that voicemail or an email or that Facebook post. Or maybe what you heard all last fall. But here in verse 2, we see that the priests and the Sadducees were annoyed. They were greatly annoyed by the message because of the resurrection of Jesus. See, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And it's clear in this passage that Peter and John has a message to share. They want to tell the world that our Jesus is the risen one. The one who has risen again from the dead. And because of that, they were able to share it with boldness. And we see here in verses 8 through 12 that Peter has been confronted and been examined by the Sadducees and the high priests. And they spent a whole night in jail. You know, have you ever spent a night in jail? I mean, they had a whole night in jail to think of a different story. I mean, have you ever been like, you know, this is probably more true. You know, that you got in trouble, you got caught, and your mom or dad said, "Go in the room, think about it. We'll talk about it here in a second." And you had probably 5 or 10 minutes to think of what story you're going to tell. Here, Peter and John had all night to change their story, to soften it just a little bit. Maybe to tell about Jesus, but maybe not focus so much on the resurrection. And what they do is they do not flinch. They come with boldness. They only had one message to tell about the wonder and goodness of our Savior. And again in verse 7, the high priest comes and they start their line of questioning early in the morning. By what power or by what name did you do this? In verse 8, Peter responds, rulers of the people and the elders, if we are examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is no salvation. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so here, Peter gives this bold message of the gospel. The one that the only name is Jesus. The one whom you crucified, the one you have rejected, is the only place where we can find salvation. And this is a tough claim for Peter. It's a tough claim for us today. We live in a world of pluralism. We're all nervous of how to share our faith. And we're all nervous because we know in this building that it's only in the name of Jesus. And we know that might scare off a neighbor or a friend or a coworker. We're so single-minded. But we need to remember how we got here. We need to remember how we got to this building. That was only by the very grace of God. See, the reality is this, that you did not argue yourself here. You did not wake up one morning and figure this whole thing out about life. That God condescended, that while you were his enemies, Christ died for you. And when you were dead in your sins and trespasses, God has made you alive so that you can respond in his wonderful grace and his mercy. And so you did not come here by your intellect or your power or even your own self-wonder. You came here by the very grace and wonder of our God, by his message. And so just in the name of Jesus, the only name that gave hope of this man here in John 3 of physical healing. Jesus is the only name of hope for spiritual healing. He's the only one for the good news of all of mankind. That only in the name of Jesus can we find salvation. Where we can find redemption. Where we can find this reality that Peter found. From brokenness, of weeping, to boldness. Because of the wonder of Jesus. And why only Jesus? Here, Peter stressed in Acts 4 and throughout all of Acts that salvation can only be found in the name of Jesus, the risen one. Again, Jesus is the only name in heaven and on earth because where salvation can be found because he is the only one who has risen from the dead. In a couple weeks, as we'll celebrate in Easter morning, we only do that once a year because he's the only one. He's the only one who has risen from the dead. He's the only one who has defeated death on our behalf. He is the only one who is now seated at the right hand of God, being our prophet, priest, and king. And so do you believe that Jesus has risen from the dead? And how has that belief impacted your life? And we see here again that reality was a huge difference in the life of Peter and John. It was a huge difference of even the 5,000 who heard and believed. And it was a huge difference for Paul in Galatians 2:20, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so the good news of the gospel, the reason we can have a message of boldness, the reason that we can have a singularity message of boldness, that only salvation can be found in Jesus and only in Jesus, because he has risen from the dead. He has defeated death in our behalf, and that he has started the new heavens and the new earth so that we can live in boldness. Lastly, so we see the source of their boldness, the message of their boldness, and lastly, the very purpose of their boldness. The very purpose of their boldness is to make Christ known, to share of his wonderful deeds, of the goodness of the gospel, and the glory of Christ that would cover the whole earth. Again, look at verses 19 through 20. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." So first, this boldness helped them listen to God and not to man. Again, look at verse 19. It is, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." So here, what Peter implies is there's a clear command that God, from God, that we would preach Christ. Again, just turn a couple pages to Acts 1:8, where it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." And so the purpose of their boldness and for our boldness is for the gospel to go to the very ends of the earth, for the glory of God to cover the whole world. Again, look at that. Remember that powerful passage in Acts 1:8 where it says that you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, to the Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And just think about that, the boldness of Peter and John. But as we move on throughout church history, think of people like Amy Carmichael and Jonathan Edwards and David Brainerd, that the gospel is on a move. It is moving to the very ends of the earth. And again, remember how it all started. There at the very beginning of Acts, we have 120 or so people in Jerusalem hiding. And Jesus comes and says, "You will be my witnesses," and it will go to the very ends of the earth. And guess what? It's going there. We're in Jacksonville, Florida. Again, imagine this thing started with a small, frightened group of people. And now we're standing here in Ortega, Presbyterian Church. And you look around on the people next to you and behind you, in front of you. And we all have stories to tell of how we got here. And it's because God is on the move. He's in the business for people to come and hear and respond about the very grace and mercy of God. And so the work of the Spirit gives us boldness and gives us a desire to share what we have seen and heard. Again, listen to verse 20. "For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." And so as Peter was saying, we have seen Christ, he is alive, and we must go and tell it to others. And how can we keep such a wonderful news to themselves? How can they keep it? You know, and maybe you feel like Peter and John, uneducated, average. I wish I was an average fisherman, even a good one. Even Jeremiah the prophet says, you know, that he almost kind of gave it up in Jeremiah chapter 20. But Paul says, you know, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no boasting, for it's necessary to lay upon. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And so since we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, as we see in the beginning of the story of the apostles speaking and teaching the good news of Jesus, we see that the gospel is on the move. If you're in this building, you in some way or some degree or another have experienced that wonder of your heart turning into a heart of stone, into a heart of flesh, of you being one who is dead in your sins and trespasses have been made alive in Christ. And let me ask you this. Have you experienced the God-given boldness to share your faith? of what you have seen and heard. It could be as simple as your own children. It could be your neighbor or a family member or a good friend from high school or that one neighbor that really gets on your nerves. But have you ever experienced that moment in time where God uses you to show and tell the good news of the kingdom of God? We need to be people who tell of what we have seen and heard. We have a world that is watching, and we have the grand opportunity to tell what we have seen and heard. And so as we close, I want to remind you this. I want you to be reminded, as we think of Peter and John, what was their pedigree? What was their resume? What was their achievement? What were they known for? It was this, that they had been with Jesus. And I tell you this morning, if you're a Christian this morning, your pedigree for your boldness, for your confidence, is that you have been one who has been with Jesus. And that Jesus is with you. That Jesus is with you and that he is for you. And the question again, have you been with Jesus? Are you walking with him? Are you listening to him? Again, that is your pedigree. That you are one with him. That he has called you by name. That he has lived for you and died for you. That he has actually written the very name of you on his hands. And that he is with you. And that he will never leave you or forsake you. And as we live in a world that is waiting for the redemption of all things, as we live in the midst of a world that is watching, know that your boldness and your courage comes because you are united to Christ, that he is with you and that he is for you, that you are filled with his Holy Spirit. Again, there is one thing to have Christ or God beside us. It's a whole nother to have God in you. And lastly, this morning, if you are in Christ, if you have been one who has called you by name and you have responded, let me remind you of the ultimate comeback story. And that's your story. Again, while you were Christ's enemy, Christ died for you. That Christ, Jesus Christ, has redeemed you, that he has called you by name, that Jesus came as your ultimate prophet to reveal salvation to you. That Jesus has done everything to make sure that you are his, so that you would be united to him, and that he has given you your spirit. And so live in that boldness, knowing that you are one with Jesus, that Christ has turned our brokenness into boldness. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. And we pray that as we were reminded of so much this morning, of the very source of Peter and John's boldness, of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, may we be reminded that we have such a source as well, of how rich your Word is and how powerful the Holy Spirit is, that it changes us. And I pray that you would give us a similar boldness